If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. It's from this passage, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, that we get the term member for believers who are part of the church. Now, when some people hear the term member, they think of a club, like being part of a golf club or even Sam's Club. The kind of thing where you pay your dues, you get your name on the list, then you show up when you feel like it, and maybe you get some special discount or privilege. Or maybe they think of being a member of a team, where you may only sit on the bench, but you're still counted together with those who win or lose. But being a church member is even more than that. It's like being a member of a family that loves and cares for each other, and everyone is important, whether they're big or small. But more than that, Paul says, it's like being a member of a body, where every part is essential and depends on all the others. Imagine a body where only one-fourth of your fingers work, or only one-fourth of your limbs work, or only one-fourth of your lungs work, or one-fourth of your heart. And that sometimes those parts didn't work at all. That body would have some major problems. Paul points out that this is what it can be like in churches. The one-fourth is about the percentage of activity in the average Christian congregation. Imagine what a church could be like if the whole body was working in a healthy way. Paul points out that one problem members may not recognize is the importance of the rest of the body. They may think, well, it's the church leaders. They are the ones who do the things that the church does. I'm not the pastor, and so it's not my job to talk to other people about Jesus. I'm not an elder, and so it's not my job to pay attention to how other people are doing in their spiritual life. I'm not in the choir, so it's not my job to sing out in worship. I'm not a trustee, and so it's not my job to help take care of the building or shovel the snow. That would be like thinking at home, well, I'm not mom or dad, and so it's not my job to help out in the kitchen or to deal with laundry or clean up around the house or clear snow or mow the lawn. Well, I'm sure that does happen there. But one cause for this feeling might be that our gifts or our abilities are less than others. And so we feel, well, I don't really have much to contribute, or what I do is less valuable. Maybe someone thinks, I'm just like an appendix in the body. I don't have any real function. I don't really make any difference. But just like every little LED on that flashlight, Paul says, every part of the body is essential. God put it there for a purpose, from the little pinky finger to the eyelid. We can thank God for all of our gifts and for the gifts of others. Now, the other side of this is that God then also gives us all a need for the body. Verse 21 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. In the church in Corinth that Paul is writing to, some may have gotten the impression that they weren't so important parts of the body because there were others who seemed to think that they were more important and didn't need the others. Pride is at the root of many problems. The devil wants to spread a disease in this body that thinks, not only am I not needed in the church, but I don't really need the rest of the church. I can be a fine Christian all by myself. We all need constant life support. Imagine a part of the body trying to survive while being cut off from the rest of the body. That's not going to happen very long. Or even trying to function without the rest. Have you ever tried to taste something with a stuffed up nose that you can't smell? Have you ever tried to roll over in bed when one arm is totally asleep? Or have you ever tried to run with your arms folded? Or with your eyes closed? We need each other to see those things that we don't see, to speak encouragement that we need to hear, to listen when we need to share our sorrows, to lend a helping hand, to sit by our side, to stand up for us. We need to accept and welcome those who are different. Not just saying, you do your thing and I'll do my thing, but being united in common faith so that we sing together in harmony and work together in a complementary way. Paul mentions here the parts of the body that we cover up out of modesty or because they're weak or more easily hurt. Would you like to be without those parts of your body? I suspect not. The parts that are less presentable need special attention. His point here is that there may be members in the church that seem weak or easily hurt or embarrassing to us and often in need of extra care, but they are still just as important for who we are together. That's a reminder that every one of us is part of the church in which we are all spiritually sick and weak and need our sins covered up by Christ. Paul is stating that if we do not understand our connection to the church, we don't really understand our connection to Christ at all. In the gospel reading, we heard how those in Nazareth rejected Christ, ironically, because they thought they should have him all to themselves, along with his miraculous help. They didn't recognize him at first because they failed to see those he mentioned as being like them in being loved by God and needing his help. God does give us help. He gives us his care through his body. Verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one spirit. Verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. Verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. These, which are the opening and the closing words of our text, remind us that we do what we do as members of the church all because of what God continually does for us. God has created us to be the unique individuals we are. God, the Holy Spirit, through holy baptism, has brought us to faith, which means he has united us with Christ in order to receive his forgiveness and his righteousness. No one is ever simply baptized by themselves. We are always baptized into something. We are baptized into Christ. And so we are baptized into the body of Christ, which is the church. Just as no one is ever dressed or planted or connected unless being planted, dressed, and connected into something. The common baptism, which unites us with each other, is like soaking a pile of paper in water so that it all sticks together. Baptism causes us to stick together. The Spirit goes on to equip people to serve others, not because they're better than others, not so that they get more recognition or more glory, but for the common good of others in the church. Paul is specific for the Christians, Corinthians. He says this includes Greeks and Jews. This includes slave and free, people as different as they could be, with different cultures, educated and illiterate, rich and poor, but all saved in the same way through faith in Christ. This is all because Christ has come with a body to unite himself with us in our weakness and in our shamefulness, to suffer with those who suffer, to die with those who die, in order to take away our sins of separation and selfishness and pride and prejudice. He unites himself with us through faith given by the Holy Spirit, so that we are then also raised with him and rejoice with him in his resurrection and are honored with him in heaven. Because we are already now united with this Christ, he continues to care for us as one cares for their own body. He cares for us through his body, the church, of which he is the head. He uses his body, the church, to offer this love and this care to all. And in all of these things, it is Christ himself who is doing it, because it's his body. We are all together Christ's body. God gives us all a place in this body. I'm valuable. I'm essential to God and to others. And God gives us all a need for the body. You are important. You are important to me. We all need each other. God gives us care through his body. Christ, who saves us by what he did with his body, now reaches out through his body, the church, to share his loving care and his honor and his joy. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.